All right. So tonight we're going to talk about Hanukkah, a little bit the deepness and the secrets of Hanukkah. Anybody have a sitter on them? I forget a sitter every week. Anybody have a sitter with Alan Nisim, Shemana Esrei? What? Small is good. Shkoyach, thank you very much. As long as it has Alan Nisim in it. Thank you. It's an honor, Ruth, to use your sitter by sheer. Okay. All right. So, the question is like this. And we've spoken about this before. We're going to try to go a little bit deeper. I also want to welcome the 12th grade. What grade? 12th grade. We're the 12th graders. All right. We'd like to welcome the 12th graders. Thank you very much. It's the first time they're here? Okay. I just didn't know they were 12th graders. You know our rule is you have to be in seminary. Okay, anyway. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, anyway, thank you very much for coming and for coming out on this cold night. Nefesh. Absolutely. We're going to talk about Nefesh tonight. That's what we're talking about. Baragola and Nefesh, all the good places. Okay. So, the question is like this. Chanukah, the word Chanukah means Chanukah, that we rested on the 25th day. What do we rest from on the 25th day? So there's something called Megillas Chashmonah. We're not learning it tonight. Maybe we'll learn it next week. We'll see. Well, actually, next week, Wednesday night, it's not Chanukah anymore. So, but there's something called Megillas Chashmonah. You don't learn it in school. It's not one of the Megillas that we read. It's not Eicha. It's not, you know, it's not Rus. It's not Esther. It's a Megillah that was written, and the Sfardim from Spain to this day, or Italy, Sfardim in Italy still read it on Chanukah. And it's really the story of the war of the five Maccabees and their father against the Greek army. And it's very fascinating. I learn it with my class every year. And that's the name Chanukah. Chanukah was on the 25th day. There was a small band of Jews, five Maccabees, and their father, Matisyahu. Two of them got killed. Yehuda got killed in the middle of the war. Eliezer got killed underneath an elephant in the middle of the war. It ended up only three Maccabees made it out. And they went and they took down the whole Greek Empire. They took down the whole Greek Empire. It was like taking down the United States. The Greek Empire had an infantry. It had these elephants that were armored like tanks. And they had a huge navy. And there was no one in the world that could take them down. They were the Greek Empire. And they came to fight these Jews in Israel. And this small little band of Jews totally destroyed them, totally decimated them. And after that, there was no more Greek Empire. It was the end of the Greek Empire. And today, what's Greece? Nothing. You take a cruise line, you go to Greece, you know. They have good olive oil, I think, in Greece. You know? I'm going to do a little plug. Garden of Eden on Avenue J has good Greek salad. But, you know, that's it. That's all that's left of Greece, some salad. Army's gone. The culture's gone. The whole thing's gone. Right? Look what happened to the great people. They became salads in Garden of Eden. You have Greek salad, and then you have the great Roman Empire, you have Caesar salad. So that's right, so that's what happened, that's what happened, right? Okay, but Baruch Hashem, the Jews, we didn't turn into a salad yet. There's no such thing as Jew salad, right? Okay. Anyway, Israeli salad, that's true. Okay, you got me. All right. Anyway, but Israeli salad is only sold in Jewish restaurants. They don't sell Israeli salad in non-kosher. What? Okay. So, we name the holiday, Chanukah, after the war that we won. And we rested on the 25th. Meanwhile, we might name it Chanukah because of that, but we do absolutely nothing in remembrance of this huge upset, this huge war that we won. We don't do anything. What we do is we say in Shemona Esrei, quietly, after Modim, Al Hanisim. And when you bench, after having your Greek salad, you also, and you washed, of course, you also, because it's an Inyan to wash on Chanukah and to make a Seuda, by the way, at night, the Mishnah Berurah says it's an Inyan, you should say Torah, and you should sing songs, and you should make a Chanukah party. That's where it comes from. So, it's only in benching, and it's only in the Shemona Esrei. And if you forget to say Al Hanisim in the Shemona Esrei, you don't say it over again. So it's like not the end of the world. So, why would you name a holiday and then totally go a different direction and light candles that have nothing to do with the war, right? That have to do with oil that burned for 8 days instead of one day. So then if that's what the holiday is all about and that's what we're showing the whole world, right? Then why don't we call it a different name? Menorah. The holiday of the menorah. Or Hadlaka or something. Why Chanukah? Because we rested on the 25th day. That's not really what we're celebrating. Or is it what we're really celebrating over here? So I thought to myself that it would be great, because we know that there's another religion that has this huge guy on their front lawn with a big beard, right? We know he's not a rabbi, because rabbis don't go down chimneys. So why don't we do the same thing? Why don't we take a huge Maccabee with a big sword and a big shield, and it says Maccabee on it, and you know, one of those real big blow-up, you know, dolls, Maccabee doll, and put it on your front lawn to show the whole world that we were five Maccabees with our father, and Hashem made a miracle, and we wiped out the whole Greek Empire. Nothing. Nothing in the house, nothing out of the house. We don't even talk about the war. We don't even read Megillas Chashmonam in shul. Sort of looks like that we named the holiday, and that's all we did. We gave it a name, and then we're hiding that whole war for some reason. And what we're showing the whole world is the menorah and the miracle of the little candle. And if you ask anybody what's the miracle of Chanukah, nobody even knows about the Greek war. They're all going to tell you it's the festival of lights. So what's going on over here? What is Chanukah? Chanukah is the war, or Chanukah is the lights? It's both. But if it's both, it sounds like when you name a holiday, that what you name the holiday after, that's the main part of the holiday. Pesach, we name Pesach because when Hashem went through Mitzrayim and killed all the Bechorim, he passed over Klal Yisrael. So we name it Pesach, right? Sukkos, we name from the Sukkos that Klal Yisrael lived in the Midbar, right? Therefore, we named it Sukkos, and that's what the holiday, or that Hashem surrounded us with all the different clouds. And therefore, we named it Sukkos. Shavuos is that we got the Torah. Purim is the lottery that Haman did. So it looks like that the name of the holiday is the essence of the holiday, except by Chanukah. Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. Yom Kippur, the day that we're forgiven. Chanukah, the essence of our holiday should be that we won this war. And we eat latkes on Chanukah to remind us of the oil. We eat safganiyot to remind us of the oil. Everything's to remind us of the oil. All the laws have to do with the oil. What kind of oil? How long it has to last? What is the wick? Where do you light it? How high? What window? What time of the day? Woman lights, man lights. All the halachas are about the menorah. There's no halachas about the war that we won. And the only halacha about Al HaNisim is if you forget, you don't have to say it over. So what's going on over here? So let's take a look at the Al HaNisim that we say every day of Chanukah. So we say in the beginning, B'mei Matasyahu, we go into the whole story, that the war against the Greeks, the Yavanim, and how they wanted us to stop learning Torah, and Hashem had pity, and he stood up for us, and he took revenge, and he judged them, and he took the strong ones, and he put them in the hands of the weak ones, and he put the many in the hands of the few, and the Temeim in the hands of the Tahirim, and the Rishon, he gave into the hands of the Tzadikim, and it goes through this whole thing about the war. And then, it says, V'achar kein, like an afterthought, and after that, bo bonecha l'dvir v'secha. The Jewish children, bonecha, your children, was telling Hashem, came, and they came to the Beis HaMikdash, ufinu techolecha, they cleaned it out, v'tia ruz mikdashecha, they made it pure, they made it tahar, pure, v'dliko neiros v'chatzos k'shecha, and they lit the candles in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, v'kavu shmonis mechanaka elu. And that's why we have these 8 days. And it doesn't say one word in Al HaNisim about any miracle of any oil. It doesn't say anything. Now you're in Al HaNisim, you're talking about lighting the candles, and for some reason the rabbis are specifically leaving out the miracle of the candles. Why did it say, and they cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash, and they came, and they looked, and they found a small can of oil, and that can of oil would only last for 1 day, and a miracle happened that lasted for 8 days, and that's why we have the 8 days you made Hanukkah. No, it doesn't say that. It says they cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash, they lit the menorah, and that's why we have the 8 days. That's not why we have the 8 days. We have the 8 days because we had a miracle. This was the last Monday. And what's going on over here in Al-Nisan? Why would they specifically leave out the point of the miracle that happened with the oil? And the answer is going to be that they didn't leave it out. And we're going to see how they didn't leave it out. So, I want to go back. Don't forget your sitter, because I'll forget to give it back to you. Okay. So, I want to go back to the beginning of creation. A little reverse. In the beginning of creation, on the first day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yehi Or, there should be light. And the Torah says, Yehi Or, there was light. And Hashem saw that the light was good. And Hashem separated between light and darkness. And Hashem called light day, and Hashem called darkness night. That's the first day of creation. Every kid that goes to yeshiva knows that. On the fourth day of creation, Hashem created the luminaries, the sun and the moon and the stars. Who needed them? We already had light for the first day. Who needs the sun? Who needs the moon? Who needs stars? We already had light. But the Torah says Hashem created it. And the Torah says, very interesting, the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated it to make day and night. There should be luminaries, lahavdil ben hayom ben halayla, to separate day and night. But you already did that on the first day. You made light day and you made darkness night. It was already separated. So what were you doing here on the fourth day? And then it goes on, the Torah tells us, why did Hashem create this? Moon and sun and stars? Lahayir al ha'aretz, in order to light up the world. Because Baruch Hu, you told us in Bereshit on the first day that you brought a light into the world to light up the world. So it's very repetitive. Did Hashem create light on the first day? Or did He create light on the fourth day? And the answer is that they were very different. That's what my whole shiur is about tonight. They were very, very, very different lights. When Hashem created the world, He created a light. I can't really go that deep into it, but He created a light that was not just physical. It was also spiritual. We'll learn soon when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the burning bush, and it says that the bush was burning, but the plant, the bush that it was burning on, it did not affect. It was cold fire. Sorry. It was cold fire. In other words, there was this fire, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, turned around and looked at it, and did not understand how could there be a fire in a bush and the leaves and the berries on the bush are not burning. And the answer is that it was Hashem, the Malach of Hashem, Hashem in the bush, and the fire of spirituality does not burn. So, this light that was created on the first day was a mixture, but mainly a spiritual light. So that the world, it's very deep what I'm saying, but I'm just skimming it. That the vision and the light of the world was not coming through a physical light, it was coming through a spiritual light, and therefore the Medrash says that in this light you could see from one end of the world to the other. Because it's not a physical light lets me see from here to the end of the room. But I can't see 10 blocks down in a physical light, unless it's the sun. But it would take huge lights for me physically to be able to see 20, 30, 40 blocks. But it says that when Hashem created the world, and this light, you could see across the world. Not only you could see across the world, but nothing under this light would die. And nothing would rot. And nothing would get old. And nothing would get sick. Because it was a 100% pure spiritual light. But Hashem saw that under this light, the world could not exist. Why? Because the bad people of the world, the Rishon of the world, Hashem would not be able to punish him here. Because if they can't get sick, and they don't get old, and they don't die, and nothing rots, then people are not going to have any pain, then the Rishon will do Averas, and even the Tzaddikim will do Averas. Whoever doesn't have Avera won't be able to be forgiven, because there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's nothing in the world. And that these Rishon will continue doing Averas their whole life, and they're going to live forever. So Kosh Baruch Hu took this light that Zohar says lasted for 36 hours. And after 36 hours, into the second day, He took this light and He hid it. And it was called the Or HaGonuz, which is a very famous light. The light that's hidden, that will be brought out once again when Mashiach comes, There will be a great light in the world, a spiritual light that you'll be able to see across the world. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no death. Nothing will rot. And it'll be a new world. And Hashem says, that has to wait for Mashiach. But the B'nai Yisrael brings down, and many Sfarim bring down, that God brings this light to this world every single year. This pure spiritual light comes every single year. When does it come? In the 8 days of Hanukkah. How does it come? Through the candles of Hanukkah. The Or HaGanuz was in this world for 36 hours, and therefore God gives us every Hanukkah 36 candles. If you count the candles that you use on Hanukkah, and you say, and you count 8 plus 7 plus 6 plus 5 plus 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1 equals 36. Which Ibn Yisachar says, and he brings it down from the Zohar, that every single candle that we light of the 36 candles brings back one of those hours, whatever that Shaos means exactly. It may not mean 60 minutes, but it brings down every candle that you light. When you light that candle, you're bringing to this world one Shaos of the Lamed Vav hours of the hidden, pure spiritual light. That's Hanukkah. Nobody realizes that that's Hanukkah. Everybody thinks it's just about lighting candles and giving presents. Not at all. Hanukkah is the holiest of holidays. In fact, the books that are opened on Rosh Hashanah are finally closed, not to be opened again until Rosh Hashanah, on the last day of Hanukkah called Zeis Hanukkah. You can still do tshuva today for what was written on Rosh Hashanah, but the last day of Hanukkah, it's closed, because now, in these 8 days, and I'm going to try to help you do this, if you could find the Or HaGanuz in yourself, then you could use that spiritual light, even though you're very dark and you did many chashash averis, it doesn't make a difference. You can use that spiritual light to clean up and to do tshuva and to change what was written on Rosh Hashanah all the way until the last day of Hanukkah. So now let me explain to you what happened here. And let me explain to you that the war and it's all one. It's all one. So let me explain to you. He says like this. When Klal Yisrael, the Jewish nation, won the war, we have to understand what they were fighting. I don't have time tonight to go through it, the whole thing that they were fighting. But they were fighting Hellenism. They were fighting Chitzonius. They were fighting not the inner part of a person, but the outside part of a person. The Greeks were very into Hercules, strength. They went to the amphitheater, they started sports, they started the Olympics. Who's stronger? Who's faster? Who could jump higher? Physical. They were very, very physical. They had goddesses of love. They had Venus, they had Hercules, they had Zeus. They had a different god for every different chitzonius, for every different thing that a human being could care about materialistic. There was a god for that. Muscles were important, speed was important, money was important, looks and beauty was important. These were all the things that were important. And the Maccabees got up, the Jewish nation got up, and they said, enough. We're a nation not of what's outside, we're a nation of what's inside, and we're going to fight for it. And when they finally won the war, they came back to their Beis HaMikdash, which represents pure spirituality. And they came to a Beis HaMikdash, and they walked in, and they couldn't believe what they saw. The Beis HaMikdash was full of 42-inch screens, of all kinds of movies, of all kinds of rap music, of all kinds of books and magazines, of all kinds of avodah zarah, of all kinds of filth. And they came to this Beis HaMikdash. Of course, how do you know that? They had idols. I'm just giving you the example to what we live in today. This Beis HaMikdash was full of all these idols. And they said, we cannot serve Hashem with these idols in the Beis HaMikdash. So we say in Al-Anisim that the first thing they did when they came in is they cleaned it out. They cleaned the house. And they made the place pure and tahar. Because if you want to serve Hashem, the house that you live in and the house that your neshama lives in, you live in a house and your neshama lives in a house. And the house that the neshama, that the soul lives in, is your body. That's its house. And it's very hard to be close to Hashem if the house is full of avodah zarah. If what you bring in through your eyes on the internet and all the other places that your eyes roam, if that's the windows of this house where your neshama lives, then it's very hard for that neshama to be holy and to do what it's supposed to. And if your ears are hearing the things that, all these things, all your senses that take in, all that stuff leads to one place. That's the house of the neshama. So if the noise that's coming into the house, if you have a house and you live in it and there's crazy music playing, you can't sleep. It's too much noise in the house. And if the house is full of tumah, it's a very uncomfortable place for neshama to be. So we are the house of that neshama. So Al-Anisim is telling us that the Maccabees said that it's not good enough to come in and light the menorah. Let's light the menorah first and then let's clean up. No. They said first you need to clean up. And first you need to make it pure. And then you can light the menorah. So here they work. If you can imagine, a couple of Israeli soldiers, a couple of Jewish soldiers, very big tzaddikim, and they destroyed the Greeks, and now they're coming back to their Beis HaMikdash, and their Beis HaMikdash is full of schmutz. That means dirt and filth. So the first thing they said is, we had enough schmutz and enough filth. Let's clean it out. And then they cleaned it out. And here they are, they're by their menorah. And now they want to light this menorah. The menorah is a symbol of a neshama. We know a ner neshama. Ner is a neshama. Just like a candle. Just it's so much you can learn from a candle. The fire is the one thing that defies all the physical aspects of this world. We learn in physics. There's a famous theory of displacement, which means that if you want to take a cup of water and pour half of it into another cup, the first cup, the water is displaced. It's only a half full now. And in anything, if you have a handful of sand, then you take half of it and put it in your other hand. So the displacement, you're only left with a half a handful of sand. But the only thing that defies this theory in physics is fire. For you could take a candle and light 100 candles, and the original fire did not lose anything. So a candle defies that law in physics, and the candle defies the law of physics of gravity. Everything in this world is pushed down, but a candle is always reaching for the stars. And if you turn over the candle, it's still reaching for the stars. Fire is always reaching up. And that's why a ner is in the shaman. We light a ner when somebody dies, because fire defies a lot of the physical aspects of the things in this world. And therefore, fire is what a Jewish neshama is, and no matter how you turn the person upside down, put him in the filthiest, dirtiest place, no matter what you do with a Jewish person, the neshama, no matter how you turn him over and twist him over and lay him down, whatever you want to do, the neshama is that candle. It's always reaching up. And it's always flickering. A Jew, when they pray, we shake. And there was a famous story where a priest came to a rabbi. He said, I don't understand. In church, when we stand and we pray, as good Christians, we stand like this, and we pray. Or like this, and we pray. And you guys, when you pray, you're all over the synagogue. Everybody's walking around. Everyone's shaking. They're going to the left and to the right. What's going on? You're all ADD, ADHD. What's going on with you guys? And the rabbi said that a Jew has an neshama. And a neshama is a flame. And a flame is always shaking. Because it's always reaching up. And it always wants to move forward. And therefore, when a person davens to Hashem, his neshama is flying up. Let's go. Come on. Harder. Daven more. More kavana. Let's go. And this is exactly what I look like. You're shaking. You can't pray to Hashem like this. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Maybe yoga you can do like that. But you can't daven to Hashem like that. Shmon Esrei. You stand with your 2 feet. Nobody stands Shmon Esrei like this. You daven like this. Everybody davens like this. What's wrong with us? Why do we daven like this? Because the neshama is moving. And therefore, the neshama is in the house. And when you're jumping in your house, the house starts to shake. So when the neshama is in a shul and it's davening, or you're learning, or you're saying Tehillim, and it's moving, so the house moves. There's a famous story, I think it was in the Chafetz Chaim, maybe a little bit before the Chafetz Chaim, in Russia. They used to send the KGB in to shul dressed up as Jews to hear what the rabbi was saying. And the rabbi was supposed to get up. There was a terrible thing. They were taking all the Jewish kids to the Russian army. Once you were in the Russian army, you were done. So that Shabbos, the rabbi was going to get up and he was going to talk about how the people have to hide their children and send them across the border so that they shouldn't be taken by the Russian army. And the rabbi got up and everybody was expecting a fiery speech, and he got up and he spoke about how great Russia is and how great communism is. And how all the Jews should help communism. And everybody's sitting in shul, and they were like, in awe, how could the rabbi talk about things like this? And when he finished, and davening was over, they came to his house. They said, Rabbi, we knew you were going to get up and talk against the Russian government, and you got up and you spoke good about communism. What's wrong with you? And he said, did you see the guy in the back? And they said, sure we saw the guy. The one with the orange beard? They said, sure we saw the guy with the orange beard. He says, he was new in shul, right? They said, yeah, he looked very religious. He said, he wasn't Jewish. They said, Rabbi, you're Ruach HaKodesh. He looked Jewish, his tzitzis were out, he had a beard, he was praying. He said, yeah. The whole davening, I watched him. He was new, so I wanted to watch him. And he stood by Shemoneh Esrei like a Christian. He davened Shemoneh Esrei like this. He stood by the whole davening, he did not shake once. That man is not a Jew. And I knew that he was from the KGB. And I knew that if I spoke one word against communism, we all would have been killed. A Jew shakes. A candle, a flame, shakes. So all we need to do is look at a Hanukkah candle, and we can learn so much. It's reaching up. It's shaking. It has the ability to light another 1,000 candles. It has the ability to light from one little spark 20,000 acres in California. And still not lose anything from itself. That's what Hanukkah represents. And that's the Ar HaGanus. So, they came in and they said, Hashem, we want purity. We're done with all this filth and assimilation. We're here with the Beis HaMikdash, we cleaned it out. We want purity. La Halacha, in Jewish law, there's something called Tumah Hutra Mitzivur. That means that if most of the people are Tameh, then you're allowed to use things and eat things that are Tameh. Not kosher, but in the Beis HaMikdash. If most of the Jews are Tameh, then the Kohen doesn't have to be Tahar, and the things that they're using don't have to be Tahar. And at this point, the whole Jewish nation was Tameh. Because even the Kohanim, who were the Maccabees, had gone to war and had killed many, many Greeks. So everybody in the Jewish nation was Tameh. So there was no reason to look for a small can of oil. They could have used the large cans of oil that were Tameh. Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. There would have been nothing wrong with using it. In fact, it was a big fight. Some rabbi said, what's going to happen here? We're going to look. They found a little can of oil, and they didn't know there was going to be a miracle. So they said, this little can of oil is going to last for one day. We can't get new oil. It's going to take us another 7 days. Because the oil came from a region far from Yerushalayim. And the way they made the oil, if you had to make the oil for the menorah, was that you took an olive, and you put a little needle into that olive, and the first drop of oil that came out, that's all you were allowed to use. And you took the olive, and you used it for other things. It took them 7 days. It took them 3 days to make it, 3 days to get there. So the rabbi said, what's going to happen? Everyone's going to come and make a big party. We're opening up the Beis HaMikdash, and we're lighting up the menorah, and then, after one day, the menorah's going to go out, and for 6 days, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be in the dark. The Jews are going to get scared. The Greeks came back. They're going to panic, right? They're going to go transference back to where they were. We're going to throw the whole geula is going to go down the drain. So I think that what we should do is, let's use the Tameh oil. We're allowed to. Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. And the other group, the Maccabees, said, no. One day of purity is better than 7 days, extra days, of impurity, of unpure oil. Even though it's kosher. Even though you could use it, we have come from such filth and such impurity. Let us give God one day of pure oil. And they said, okay. And that's what they did. Where does that come from? That comes from the love of God. If you love somebody, and you buy them a ring, you want to buy them the best diamond. You want to give them the purest thing. If you don't love somebody, you don't really care. It looks good, fine, give it to me. Someone cares about somebody else. They make sure that whatever they're buying them, the nicest rose. They'll spend 4 hours. You know, you see people who buy flowers Erev Shabbos. You see people who love Shabbos, and you see people who are just going through the motions. I go into the flower store, and there are people that just pick up a bunch of flowers. How much is it? $12, and they walk out. And then you have people, I'm serious, that spend an hour in that flower store. They look at the roses, they pick out a bunch of roses, and they look at them. Do you have something downstairs that's nicer? They might spend an hour. They spend an hour, and then they pick out something that goes with it. Those are people who love Shabbos. It's not about just, you know, Shabbos, I have to have flowers on my table. Okay, it's a dozen. Have a nice day. The people who really care, they spend a long time in that flower store. So Here, the Jews showed God that we really love you. We're allowed to give you impure oil. We want to give you pure oil. So they spent a very long time looking until they found this one pach of shemen. Now, where did this pach of shemen come from? So it's very, very interesting. When Yaakov woke up in Parshas Vayetze, when he woke up from his dream of the ladder, he took a rock. There was a matseva, Vayitzek olav shemen. He took oil and he poured it on the rock. And the question that's asked, this is also brought down by Rav Chaim Vital, the question that's asked, where do you get the oil from? We all know that when Yaakov was running away from Esav, Esav sent his son Eliphaz to kill him. And when Esav came and caught Yaakov and said, I'm going to kill you because I can't lie to my father, it's a little hard to understand. In other words, I can kill you, but I can't lie to my father. But he didn't want to lie to his father, so he says, I have to kill you. Yaakov said, no, I'm going to teach you something. It says that a person who is very poor, who owns not one object, he's that poor, a person like that is considered dead. And halacha is considered like a mace. So he says, take all the money that I was taking and everything that I have. He stripped them down to no clothing practically. He says, take everything. Then when your father Esav asks you, is Yaakov dead? You'll tell him, Yaakov's dead. And you're not a liar because you took all my money. And ani chashiv kemace. And ani is considered like he's dead. So the Medrash, and I think even Rashi says, he took everything. So if he took everything, how could it be that when he woke up from the dream, he had oil to pour on the rock? Where did he get the oil from? Eliphaz just took everything away from him. So Chaim Vital brings down, and he says, I think it's from the Zohar, that when Yaakov Avinu woke up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Malach with a can of oil. And this can of oil that the Malach brought from God for Yaakov to anoint the rock is the same can of oil that traveled all through the generations to be found in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be Mekayim. How do we know this? Because it says that Yaakov went back. He went back to get his pachim ketanim. Why does it have to say his small pachim? Just say he went back to get his pachim, his jars. Pachim ketanim. The pach that was found, the jar of oil that was found now, for Hanukkah was a small teeny jar. So Rav Chaim says that pach is the one that he got brought down by the Malach from Hashem, was the one that he forgot on the other side of the river. And he said, I need that jar. I can't leave that on the other side of the river. And he went to get it. And who was waiting for him there? The Malach of Esav. Because let me explain to you the importance of Hanukkah. The Malach of Esav knew that if Yaakov has that small pach of shemen, it's going to be used to anoint the Mishkan. It was used to anoint David HaMelech. It was used to anoint the Beis HaMikdash. All through the generations it was used. And he said, if I can get rid of this Pach HaShemen, then when the Jews are on their high and they want to offer to God the most beautiful, the most pure diamond, the most pure gift, and they're going to look for a jar that wasn't touched, that's sealed by the Kohen Gadol, what that means, Kohen Gadol, written in the Medrash, the real Kohen Gadol is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Medrash in Mitzrayim, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Kohen Gadol. He went down to Mitzrayim himself, and the Malachim said, you're a Kohen, how could you go down into this Tamei Dika place? And he said, for my children in Mitzrayim, even though I'm a Kohen, I'll become a Tamei. So we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was considered the Kohen Gadol. This was the Kohen Gadol's jar. This was the jar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Yaakov. Esav said, the Jews can't have that pure moment. Because that pure moment is going to bring what? The Ar HaGanuz, the hidden light, the most powerful light in the world, a spirituality that nothing can compare to. So if I can get that Pach HaShemen away, the Jews are going to look, and they're going to find only Tameh cans. They're not going to find anything. And with that, they're going to give up, they're going to light Tameh oil. Yes, it's a mitzvah, it's kosher, but they're not going to get the Ar HaGanuz from it. The Ar HaGanuz, the hidden light, is 1,000,000,000% pure. So the Jews went ahead and they showed their love for Hashem. So there's two holidays. There's a holiday where we face thank you to Hashem for saving us in a war. And there's a holiday where Hashem comes back and says, Don't thank me for that. What's important, I'm thanking you, because you went and you searched and you looked and you cleaned and you didn't stop looking until you found something pure to give to me. So, when you want to celebrate what I did for you, says Hashem, sheket. What I did for you, nobody needs to know. I don't need to show off what I did for you. So when you want to talk about the war, modem anachnu lach, where you talk about thank you Hashem for my life, you can mention Al Hanisim that I saved you in a war. But the holiday that I want the world to see is that you love me. And that you didn't just settle on lighting tameh oil, even though it would have been just good enough. You went and looked and searched until you found something pure to give me, and that I want all the non-Jews in the world, I want you to put it in your window, Pasumei Nisa, I want everybody to see these candles, because I want everyone to understand that my nation, my children, they love me, and I want that to be publicized. And therefore, Al Hanisim, that we say, talks about both miracles. The beginning of Al Hanisim talks about what Hashem did for us, thank you very much Hashem. And the second part of Al Hanisim doesn't mention about oil for one day lasting 8 days. It mentions what we did. We went and we cleaned and we looked and we made it pure until we found what was pure, and that's what we lit in the chatzar, and that's the miracle of Chanukah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's not a miracle that it lasted 8 days, because it wasn't normal light. It was the Or HaGanus. And that's not normal. That's above nature. So that wasn't the miracle. You know what the miracle of Chanukah is? That the Jews looked for that little can. That's the miracle of Chanukah. And I'll tell you a step more. Hashem put that can there. The Greeks couldn't find it. They didn't see it. Why didn't they see it? They saw every other can. Because they could not see an oil that was spiritual. This can came from God. This was a very spiritual. This was not for the Greeks who were into Hercules and all the physical things in the world. They're not going to see that can. So they missed that can. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu put that can there so that the person that wants to find it will find it. And that is what we need to learn from Chanukah, because every person in this room and every Jew in the world, there is a part of your soul, no matter how many sins you did, no matter how low you've gone, no matter what you've done, people who didn't keep Shabbos, people who didn't do any mitzvahs in the world, there's a can in that neshama. There's a small corner in that neshama that's pure. That's the Or HaGanuz. That's the hidden light. And somewhere in that neshama, there's something pure. And all Hashem wants you to do is look for it. It's to clean out the house and go find it. And Hashem says, if you go find it, then it's no problem. You'll do one mitzvah and you'll end up doing unbelievable. And every Baal Tshuva and any person who's ever changed their life knows exactly what I'm talking about. You knew nothing about Judaism. You went to somebody's house for Shabbos. You watched them light candles. You spent one Shabbos. And from this one Shabbos, you became ultra-religious. That's not normal. That's not nature. What happened? The Baal Tshuva gave that Shabbos, that moment was so pure. It wasn't because her mother taught it or her father taught it. It came from a place of total purity. And if you can light a part of you that's totally pure, Hashem says, the rest is mine. You lit one day, I'll take care of the other seven. And it's happened in my life. I can tell you the same thing. I gave up one thing 10 years ago, more than 10, 12 years ago. One thing I gave up in my life. And from that, I ended up giving everything up. And I don't mean good things. I mean bad things. And I've spoken about it. I used to go to the movies. Clean movies. But I went to movies. That's what couples did. They went to movies. Science fiction, Star Wars, stuff that, you know, you thought wouldn't hurt anybody. Rocky. Who's that going to hurt? And, yeah, he hurt the other guy, but I'm talking about us. Right? And I came to one day, I said to myself, hey, you're a Rebbe. You know, television, it's in your house. You want to do this, you want to do that, you want to listen to rock and roll, that's your private thing. But you're going to the movies in front of everybody. You're teaching people that a Rebbe can go to movies. You got to stop. And I made up my mind. God, I'm not giving up my rock and roll. I'm not giving up my television. I'm not giving up my New York Post. I'm not giving up all the science fiction books that I read. I'm not giving up a lot of things, but I'll give you one thing. Movies, it's over. Of course, I couldn't do it that fast, so I said, the only movie I'll go to is rated G, knowing that it would be Disney movies. I realized in my subconscious that means it's over, because I'm not going to a movie theater to sit to watch Disney movies. So I gave up one thing in my life. One thing, but I gave it up, and my friends gave me a very hard time. They called me every Motzei Shabbos, you want to go out with us? You know where we're going? And I was like, why are you making it hard on me? You know, like the person tells you, I just became vegetarian, and you keep taking him to the steakhouse, you know? They made it very hard. Of course your friends make it hard on you, because you're making them look at themselves, and they don't want to. How could he stop going to movies, and I can't? So they figure, it's a lot easier to get him to start going to movies, and I don't have to stop going to movies. So when we change, our friends who love us very much, and they really do, but they don't want to look at themselves and say, you know, it's like a diet. You go on a diet, you lose a lot of weight, you go out with your friends, right, and you're in the restaurant, and all your friends are the ones that are sitting at the table pushing. If you eat this little piece of chocolate cake, it really won't make a difference. You know what I mean? How's that going to change? You're looking at them, hello, I'm on a diet, why are you doing this? Because subconsciously they figure if she eats the chocolate cake, she'll eat another piece, and then she'll gain all the weight, and she'll look exactly like us, and then we don't have to go on a diet. But if she's going to stay on that diet, I'm going to keep looking at myself, and that's going to make me have to go on a diet. I don't want to go on a diet. So what's easier, me going on a diet or getting her to eat chocolate cake? So they're all offering you chocolate cake. That's the way it is in life. That's the way it is in life. That's life, right? So I had a very hard time. But Baruch Hashem, I did it. And the one thing I told God I'm not ever going to give up is my music. I'm a drummer, and I came from a time when I was growing up where music was clean. There was no such thing. You couldn't even say something that even maybe thought of as a nasty word, you would be taken off the air. So to me, you know, came January 1st, I knew the top 100, backwards, forwards. I knew the singers, I knew the words, I knew the albums, I knew everything. I had the albums, right? And I said to Hashem, I'm a drummer, I'm a musician. I don't want to say anything, but you know, I can't listen to this, not Shweki, Shweki's great, but I can't go from Led Zeppelin to, you know, God, you understand. And I would have swore to anyone here that I will give everything